B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have heard in recent weeks Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, Matthew Slater, core veteran members of that roster, praise Jarrett Stidham for the things he did in practice last year, for what he's capable of doing. Whether they were put up to doing that by the Patriots, which I highly doubt, or whether they just did it on their own, that is an indication of what the organization thinks of Jarrett Stidham. And I agree with you. He's the guy this year. He's going to get his chance. And look, if you're going to try to prove that you can get it done without Tom Brady, the best way to do it, Chris, is with a guy who comes straight from the system, not some desperate reaction move where you go out and grab a Cam Newton. You want to show that the Patriot way works. And what better way to show it than to kick the next man up into that job and let him go do his thing like they've done at every other position during the 20 years that Bill Belichick has been the head coach. So it makes sense on a lot of levels, and we'll see if Stidham can get it done.
Mike Folio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. Do you think there was Brady intent? We talked about this yesterday, so I guess I know the answer, Maz. But Brady argument intent with the way Belichick drafted yesterday. In other words, do you agree with Florio there that to prove it's Bill and not Brady and Bill can win without Brady, the best way to do it is just to stick with Stidham, plug in the next guy like you would any other position and win with that guy?
I mean, to a degree, yes, I do agree with it. And yes, I think it was present. Now, the question is, was it overtly deliberate on Bill's part? Did he say, I'm going to show Brady, I'm going to show all these a-holes? I don't know. Some of it may be subconscious or whatever. But at the end, I think he still would have been able to accomplish his point with Brady, even if he drafted another quarterback. Whether it's Stidham or let's just say Fromm, because we talked about him till he came out our ears. Whether it's either one of those guys, what's the difference?
Right.
You drafted him in the mid to late rounds. You developed him, your program went forward, and you won. Like, to me, so that's the part where I sort of jump from what Florio was saying. But yes, and this was my criticism of the Patriots during the whole Garoppolo thing, if you remember. The whole idea is next man up. Better 1 year early than 1 year too late. Then they got to the most important position on the field, maybe the most important position in sports, and they couldn't pull the trigger. Or they wouldn't pull the trigger. So now the trigger's been pulled. Brady's gone. Stidham's here. We get to see it in its purest form. Can it work? And if it is done this way and it works, well, then all bets are off. I mean, it was Bill.
But they are. It feels like he's taking it to an extreme. I can win with anyone. And this is, I mean, is there a worse quarterback room in the league?
Probably not. No, I'd have to really think about it. But
tell me right now, who's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL? Who's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL?
It's a good question.
Give it to me. Come on, a Mitch Trubisky?
If it's going to be Trubisky, it's Trubisky.
Come on. I'm just going to call
San Diego. Do you say Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor's a good one.
Jacksonville, maybe.
Minshew.
Yeah, Minshew. Josh. I think you can make a case for Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
How about Washington? Washington has a horrible quarterback situation.
Oh, I hate their quarterbacks. Who is it? Well, I mean,
Dwayne Haskins.
I don't mind Alex Smith if he's healthy.
Okay, but I sort of assume that he's not. And so I think Washington's got the worst. If Smith is hurt, Washington's the worst situation.
Would you rather have, who did Chicago sign? Didn't they sign
Foles?
Nick Foles.
Okay, would you rather have Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles or Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer?
Oh.
Foles.
Yeah, Foles.
Okay,
Foles.
So the Patriots have a worse quarterback room. What was the other team you gave me? Washington. Is Smith going to be healthy?
I don't know.
I saw something online today. Did he have 19 surgeries on that leg?
Yeah,
or something like that?
Something nasty. Redskins depth chart. Did they get another quarterback in there?
I don't. They traded for Kyle Allen.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. So would you rather have Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, and Kyle Allen or Hoyer and Stidham?
Well, assuming Smith is not healthy, I'll take Stidham in that one.
This little exercise is just to say they might have the worst quarterback room in the league.
Yeah, it's bottom 3 to 5 anyway.
It's a bottom 5 quarterback room in the league. So is Bill going to an extreme to prove this point that it's not just about the quarterback? Is he going too far with it? I think we're about to find out. Was he also proving a point with the receivers? By not drafting a receiver, is he saying, see, we had enough, and if he wins with what he had last year, if he wins with N'Keal Harry, and if he wins with Jacoby Myers, and if he wins with Sanu and all these guys that Brady hated last year, is that another point that Belichick is proving? And was that part of what was going on there at the draft weekend? So those two items.
That's what worries me about him, is that he takes it to an extreme.
Okay, let's go back to some of these phones. Brian in the car on the NFL schedule. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I think with the NFL, unlike the NBA and NHL that had this, unplanned, unexpected interruption right in the middle of that season, the NFL has the luxury of being the one league that doesn't have to worry about that. And so I don't understand the insistence on rushing the season as almost like a dead sprint from week one through the Super Bowl, when one of the biggest things that was step up for the NFL in the last negotiations they just had in the CBA was they were cutting into the time in the offseason to give these players all this extra time off. I just think you're going to weaken the product by doing it this way. Why are they just so, intent on not just pushing the season through mid-March if you have to, so that you can retain the same bye weeks?
Brian, I think they will. I think all these leagues will. The more I think of it, the more it's in their interest, Maz, because the only path currently is in empty stadiums, even for football. If they return in September like normal, it's going to be empty stadiums. That's money. That's still money. The NFL is less reliant on, the gate than any other sport, but that's still millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. It's still box revenue. That's probably even bigger than the actual gate. Box revenue, and then all the in-stadium advertising, they probably have to give credits back because there's no one in the stadium. So all of that, it's all in their best interest to delay it as much as possible, because the longer out this goes, the better there's a chance, and not that there's a great chance, but there's a better chance of having people in the stadiums in January, call it, than in September. So all these leagues, I think, as much as they can, are going to start pushing this stuff off. They should.
Oh, yeah, there's no question to me that absolutely they're better off doing it, especially, and you mentioned earlier, too, it's a good point, the whole idea that if you push off the end of this season, in many cases you are pushing off the beginning of the next one. Football's a little different, but that then gives you the chance of playing 2021 in the case of the NBA and the NHL, and getting something closer to 100% of your normal revenue. And by that, you know what I mean. I don't mean your revenue streams, being able to open them all back up again. So it does behoove them to wait, and that way they're probably in alignment with public health officials who are skeptical.
Bob in Millbury. Go ahead, Bob. What do you got? Bobby.
Asleep?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we put him to sleep. Listen to that. Bobby!
The old 4 o'clock.
That is awesome.
That's tremendous. And we weren't even talking baseball. Let's grab Phil in Waltham. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks so much. Well, I'm glad that I fell asleep. I want to talk about the Patriots. So they have the second toughest schedule coming up this year.
It's a tough one. I don't know where it ranks, but it's hard, yeah.
And you were just bashing how their quarterback duo compares to, like, Washington and the rest of the league. So you want to let Brady go? I'm fine with that. I'm thinking now you're going to have games like 13-10, 16-13, because it's now going to be defensive games probably every time.
Yep.
I was surprised when they let Gostkowski go, because I know people want to bash him and he's not a good kicker, but he's not lousy either.
He's also. Phil. He was like the third highest paid kicker in the league. He was a top five highest paid kicker in the league. How old is he now? He's like 35.
Yeah.
And he's coming off an injury. Like, if he doesn't get cut, I don't know who does. I don't know how that guy keeps his job.
Groin surgery. Nobody's picked him up. He might be done. I don't think another team's going to end up picking him up.
No. I think he should get a sniff for, like, minimum salary or, a prove-it deal, something like that. But who was going to take him at his current contract?
No, nobody.
No way.
I mean, he couldn't plant. He couldn't plant. He admitted it. He couldn't plant. And it was apparent in the way he was trying to kick.
Here's, I think it's Damien in Salem on Warwasser. Go ahead, Damien.
I want to touch back on the Rawlerser stuff, because you keep talking about what the taboo means, but I don't think any of you guys actually know what it means. And until we start dealing in facts, he's going to have to defend himself.
Well, he's ashamed of it, Damien, whatever it is.
Yeah, he's ashamed of it because Jermaine Hill goes out and calls him a white supremacist on social media, and people are calling him that. And unfortunately, I think we have to address where this white supremacist thing comes from. Because
this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to do. Do you have Howie's number? Could you give him Howie's number? You can call Howie on that one. He was in tears last night and called it shameful because of Jameel Hill. That's why? Because of one reporter on ESPN? That's why he's in tears? Really? You're a pretty thin-skinned fella there. Let's grab Dave in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, I feel like Peyton Manning right now, sitting here going, we're talking about our idiot kicker. And the guy hasn't even kicked for us yet. Like, he's a kicker taken in the fifth round. Why does he need to get any airtime whatsoever about this? And I'm with you, Felger, on the whole, the gun nuts. They kind of drive me nuts. I'm ex-military. I'm a veteran. My wife is, too. We don't have guns in our household because we don't feel you need one to protect your home. And I don't feel you need one just in general. And I don't enjoy shooting guns or anything. It wasn't the funnest part of my military career. Maury, you seem to think it's okay for them to have them to defend the nation. If the military came cruising down the First Avenue here with an M1 Abrams tanks and with the AC-130 gunships, your gun collection in your basement is not going to stop anything.
Hey, Dave, let me just stop. It's not an anti-gun thing. I'm not critical of someone who has arms to defend themselves against criminal or to protect their family or things of this nature. I do break from the guy that arms himself to have armaments against his government, against our government. That is, I'm sorry, I will not even respectfully disagree. I will strongly disagree. That is where I break from you. If you feel you need to arm yourself for a potential conflict with our government, I'm sorry, you're out. I don't have any time for you. I don't. And if that's what this kid believes, I don't care if he's the kicker or the assistant trainer. I don't blame the team for not wanting having anything to do with them. And I don't blame him for being ashamed. If you feel you need to arm yourself for a conflict against our government, you should be ashamed. You should be. I'm sorry I feel that way. I do. So I don't agree with Murray on that one. Did you have another thing you want to say on that, Jim, before I went to break?
No. I wish we could get out of these corona times. I'm ultimately with the caller in that we wouldn't have to be talking about the kicker this much, I think, if it wasn't given the circumstances we're all in. But here we are about the kicker and his tattoo.
It's the only reason to talk about the if he didn't have the tattoo, we wouldn't be talking about the kicker.
Okay, I'm sorry. This was my point. Is I think the Patriots sort of invited this. Like I'm surprised that they it's a kicker from Marshall in the fifth round that nobody had ever heard of. And they could have very easily drafted someone else and nobody would have known a difference. Now, again, if the kid's great, like the greatest kicker ever, fine. And you know what? I'm not even concerned all that much about the media firestorm over it. I do wonder whether it was worth introducing this element into their organization.
So let's get some nuts and bolts draft analysis from Greg Bedard. We'll do it right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, more reaction to the Patriots draft with our buddy, the big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joining us on our Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Greg. How you doing, big fella?
Hey, guys. Doing well.
So,
Big Boy Wednesday.
What'd you make of their draft, Greg? How would you assess it?
I didn't love it. I mean, look, nobody knows about the draft, and Belichick could have knocked it out of the park. I just didn't like it from the perspective where I just don't see a ton of impact guys. And I'm not saying they needed – I don't think they – I'm actually higher on the current roster – than a lot of people. I think they can compete. I did an evaluation against the other teams in the AFC East position by position, and they came out a little bit ahead of the Bills. So I, even with, the obvious trade down in quarterback, I still see them as the best team in the division. And so I don't see a ton of humongous holes on this team. That being said, when you go from, you know, Tom Brady to a Jarrett Stidham, other people are going to have to step up and make a lot of plays. And, you know, you get that oftentimes from youth. And I just don't know if I see it in this draft because, look, Duggar may be a great player. And if you tell me a year from now he's Patrick Chung's replacement and he's going to fill that role and be a playmaker, okay, fine. I don't have a problem with the pick. Or if you tell me they're actually projecting him to play linebacker for Jamie Collins this year, okay, maybe I could see it. But, like, you know, D2 school, he had injury problems there. You know, no off season for any of these guys. It's going to be a transition. Uche, look, he's an undersized outside linebacker. I mean, I talked to some scouts who know the Patriots system, and they say, you know, I compare him a lot to Kyle Van Noy. He's 2 inches shorter, but his arms are 2 inches longer. So they see that. Jennings seems like a two down guy to me. A CSC is a guy who has a lot of promise, but really 1 year of production in Chip Kelly's offense at UCLA. And then Keene, you know, he could fill a lot of roles. He could be the best move tight end that they've had since Aaron Hernandez. But why did the kid only touch the ball 20 times every year? Why wasn't it more if he was this great weapon? So, you know, I think they could have been more impactful with their picks. And then you get in some of the things that they've missed because of the deals that they made, whether that was Sanu or Illuminor or Michael Bennett. You know, I just haven't liked how it's trended.
Maz, you have a thought?
Yeah, so Greg, what do you think their motives were in this draft? Like, what was the objective?
Well, I mean, I don't look at any grand scheme or grand plans. I think they go in and they, you know, they want to add good football players, and they do. You know, ideally, normally when all things are being equal, the Patriots look a year or two down the line and they say we need to get replacements in the pipeline. And you know, we've talked about how this year, you know, there's not a ton of wiggle room with the roster, but a year from now it's wide open. They can do whatever they want. So if they're looking at it and they say, you know, ideally you look at it and you say, okay, well, Patrick Chung's barely making it through every season. We need to get a replacement for him. I understand that. Edge guys, you know, they lose Kyle Van Noy. You know, John Simon, guys like that, Shalik Calhoun, Brandon Copeland, who they signed, they're all in the last years of deals. Dietrich Wise, Derek Rivers, final years, if those guys even make the team this year, which I doubt. They need to make preparations. So I think it's just and we all know that they needed to do something at tight end. So I think largely they stuck to their method of operation, which is a year or two out from now, where do we need to start getting bodies?
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Who's their starting quarterback week one next year?
Well, if you could tell me how much practice time they're going to have. Let's just say they no offseason, they just start training camp on time, say around August 1st. I guess I'd go with Stidham, but it's, you know, look, it's going to be a competition. And, you know, Jarrett has obviously come a long ways, a lot of things that we haven't seen with a year worth of practice. I know, you know, internally, they're talking about this being a competition. And, you know, all things being equal, he was a rookie then. He'll be a different player. But Brian Hoyer, you know, beat him out last year. I mean, he outplayed Jarrett Stidham last year. It's just that economics came into the equation and they had to go with the younger guy to back up Brady and you know, Hoyer just became expendable. So, you know, I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer. I mean, I think the Stidham ends it at the end of the day as the starter because he has, you know, potential. He's been in the system for a whole nother year, but, you know, I think we're going to have a real competition if they don't bring in somebody else from the outside.
Okay. So that was a follow-up question. Is there still a chance they bring in someone from the outside, do you think?
I'm not ruling it out. I mean, I think that they're at the point now. You have Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. You have Cam Newton. And the Patriots are in a position, at least right now, until they do something or nothing with Joe Tooney. They need to drive a hard bargain. And nobody drives a bargain like Bill Belichick. And so, and the big X factor in all this is, and a reason why I don't think they made, say, a bigger move at quarterback. I don't think it's necessarily about Stidham. It's more just about circumstances, whether it's the cap and also, you know, the pandemic. I mean, what's the point of bringing in, say, Cam Newton when you're going to need to retroactively or retrofit the offense for him if you have no time to work on it? What's the point of that? So I think that all factors in the equation.
Yeah, but Craig, does it also factor in a quarterback in terms of the draft? Like, you know, because isn't a draft pick really about the long term?
Yes. I mean, but, you know, here's the thing. I mean, in almost everything that they do when they draft, or whether it's guys in free agency, they look at what they have on the roster and they say, is that guy an upgrade? Now, me personally, and I said this going into the draft, the only quarterbacks that I would have taken over Jarrett Stidham in this draft were Burrow and Tua. That's it. I did not like Herbert. I did not like Jordan Love. Those guys were not going to be upgrades enough on Jarrett Stidham for me to do anything. Certainly, at least not this year. Certainly, but probably not down the road either. So I think that factored into it. I mean, I know, you know, the popular line of thinking is, oh well, this is a big sign of confidence that they have in Jarrett Stidham. You know, they don't have any cap space. I mean, they can create it. We all know that. But B, I don't think this quarterback draft was very good at all. I mean, if you're talking like this 5, 6, 7 deep in terms of potential starters, then I could have seen them do something. Am I surprised mildly that they didn't take a Luton out of Oregon State or, you know, Nate Staley out of Iowa as a developmental guy very late? Yeah, but maybe they had later grades on them.
Okay, two quick league things. Greg, one, the thoughts on the Packers taking Jordan Love.
I actually predicted that in my mock draft.
That a boy. Love it.
and I put just for the pure entertainment factor, because I know it will irritate the crap out of Aaron. But look, I mean, Aaron's a guy, what is he, 36 now? And he's also the type of free thinker. I know he's talked about playing until he's 40 and things like that. But Rodgers is the type of guy where he could just decide tomorrow, you know what, I want to go travel the world and learn a bunch of things. And like, he has more interests, a lot more interests other than football a lot of the time. And so I think they needed to make preparations. And I think Love has enough upside that they need to get him in. He's a guy who, like Aaron, when he came out of Cal, I mean, it's night and day, his mechanics. You know, he needed a lot of work. Jimmy Garoppolo needed work. And so I think you're talking Jordan Love is a 2-3 year process. And so I thought it was a good move by them.
Okay, finally, thoughts on what the NFL is going to look like next year in terms of schedule? Are you hearing anything? Camps?
No, I'm not hearing anything beyond what I told you guys a month ago, which was the offseason was going to be wiped out. Teams are preparing to go straight into training camp, but they're keeping their options open as far as the length of the season. I think it's most likely, if I had to bet right now, I would say it's most likely that they move the season back to late September, early October, and they cut down the number of games to, say, 14, ooh, something like that. If I were a betting man, that's where I would bet.
You think they're willing to do that versus just extending it into next, you know, whatever, February, March? Why? Why would they give up the revenue?
I mean, I don't have any grand thoughts on this. It's not something that I report on a lot. It's just from my talks with people last month, that's what I heard. And they're also making it very easy to cut down the schedule in pieces. And so I think at the end of the day, I think the NFL just decides to do that. And it's not, I mean, yeah, they're going to be missing some revenue, but I mean, they're a behemoth. They can deal with it.
All right, let me do one more. Maz, what was the Patriots over-under in Vegas? Caesars, the last one, was it 8.5?
8.5 is correct.
Okay, big boy. You just said you did a roster analysis where you said the Patriots still have the best roster in the AFC East? The best roster in the AFC East?
This is before the draft, yeah.
Okay. After the draft, over-under 8.5.
I'm going. That's a good number. I'm going over. I think they win at least nine. Well, not at least, but 9 or 10 games. And I think, you know, and I think there's a lot of confidence in the building that they can coach up Jarrett Stidham to execute, or Brian Hoyer, that they can coach him up to execute as good as, you know, Josh Darnold or Josh Allen or whoever else is quarterback in the division this year. So. Yeah, I agree with them. 9 or 10 wins.
I'll take that bet.
All right.
Thanks. For a cheeseburger, big boy.
A couple.
Yeah, that's right. Double cheeseburger. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Okay, folks, you want to weigh in. More reaction to the Patriots draft, by all means. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985. To you right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Phones, as promised, with you, Joe in New York. What do you got for us today?
Hey, guys. So, I realize that you spent a good amount of time bashing takes that Trevor Lawrence might end up on the Patriots yesterday, but please hear me out. So, my take is basically that the Patriots roster is not what it has been the past 20 years, and their schedule next season is pretty tough. So I think they might end up with a pretty bad record, a pretty decent draft spot, and then Belichick might say to himself, hey, I want to beat Shula's record. This Stidham guy isn't going to hack it. I'm going to trade up and go grab
Joe,
a legit. Yeah?
How bad do you think the record will be?
I think it could be as bad as 4-12.
4-12. You got him at 4-12.
I think it could be pretty abysmal.
Okay.
Who's going to make plays for them?
Okay, 4-12. So the coaching doesn't come into play at all? Like, they're still going up against a league that is exceedingly weak on the sidelines, exceedingly weak in the coaching department. Okay, so the roster, I agree, it feels like it has some problems, although Greg Bedard just told us that his roster analysis shows that the Patriots have the best roster in the AFC. Yeah, and he said it was before the draft, and I don't say AFC, AFC East. He still has the Patriots with the best roster in the AFC East, better than Buffalo's. And that was before the draft. He didn't do it after the draft, so maybe that's changed. But before the draft process, he had the Patriots with the best roster in the AFC East. Do you scoff at that, Maz?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they have the best roster. I think Buffalo's got the best roster. To me, the variable is Belichick. And so, because I just, you know, the Patriots had a shaky roster last year, and that was with Brady, which gave him a huge advantage at quarterback. Okay, that's one. The second thing is just to go back to the caller's point. He said 4-12, right?
Yep.
That'd get you the number four pick this year. Not good enough.
Thank you. Okay, so I was just going to say, and that was another thing I just wanted to start to look up. Like, the number one pick, what's typically the record? Is it 2-14? Is it 3-13? What, you know, this is never something, thankfully, we've had to consider for a long, long time around here.
Yeah, it's usually two or three wins tops.
Okay, so four wins doesn't quite cut it. You're still going to have to give up a first to move up just a couple to get the first overall pick. But I just don't know, with home games against the Cardinals, the Dolphins and the Jets, the Raiders, the Broncos, who I'm still not sure about, you know, those are five wins to me right there. Like, sort of, is Bill going to lose those games at home?
Well, for what it's worth, and I think they're going to suck, but I don't think they're going to be 4-12 suck, but there is at least one mock out there already, and it's very early, obviously, that has Trevor Lawrence actually going third. So maybe if they were, you know, 5-11 or something like that, they could package some picks and move up to that third spot and get the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, three of the last 4 years, 4-12 doesn't get you into the top two or three. Okay? So now there was one year in there, not this year, last year, where 4-12 did get you in contention. It was a tiebreaker for the number two pick. But they're not going to be bad enough.
Oh, my God. Every day. It's like unbelievable. Do you think Bill is going to let Brady go and just suck and prove everybody right who thought it was all Brady and not him, that he's going to allow himself to go 4-12 and let all of you go, oh, I guess it was the quarterback, huh, Bill? You think that's why he did this? Most of you believe he's got a massive ego and is trying to prove a point. How does he prove a point by going 4-12 and then drafting a quarterback number one overall, so then he just proves everyone, yeah, it is all about the quarterback. That's the exact opposite of what he's in this for. Never mind winning games to catch Shula. Why do I feel like screaming at you. Why? Get this through your head. They don't want to tank. They're not going to tank. It's not going to happen. Good Lord. Every time, I'm sorry, every time it comes up, it's like that's the first call. It's like we talk about playing hockey in August, and the first call he gets on the effing ice. We talk about the draft and the team, and the first call is about sucking next year to tank to get Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to do it.
See, I think there is zero chance of this happening. And yesterday we were talking about how that in Bill We Trust factor has waned, and it's down a lot lower than it has ever been in the past. These are the people who still believe in Belichick because they want to justify the fact that he had a bad draft by saying that he's tanking to go get Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, that's what this is. This is people thinking, yeah, Bill tanked his draft on purpose so he can get Trevor out of Clemson.
And by the way, I'm no big college football guy. I don't even watch a ton of it. But for crying out loud, what I have seen from Trevor Lawrence, I'm not totally sold on him as the John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, lock it in, lock, stock, and barrel, number one, even Joe Burrow overall pick. Can he sit in the pocket and accurately deliver the football consistently over 60 minutes, 10 weeks in a row? Is he that guy, or is he a little bit of a college run-around shotgun, that kind of guy?
That freshman year, I thought, okay, I can understand why people are putting him in that conversation of Luck and Manning as like a no-brainer. Last year, with the weapons that he had at wide receiver, I don't know. And in that championship game, you at least watched that, Mike. There was some head-scratching plays that he had, like throwing balls in the dirt. He looked jittery. And he was so good on that stage the year before. So, I don't know. I think you can come away with that and feel like there's some red flags on the kid.
God, I would hate if the Patriots become that team. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
They're not going to do it. Belichick can't bring himself to go 2-14. No way, not in a million years.
More draft reaction with you and a new plan breaking on how Major League Baseball will look when they come back. We'll do that off the top of the hour, but your call's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just say it. They don't draft well. They haven't had a Pro Bowler on offense drafted since Gronk. He's now out of the city and a 1 year from being out of the league. This is why Brady left. They can't get weapons. You look at their draft pick. It's a bunch of defensive guys that will disappear into Belichick's system. Where did they get athletic offensively? Because now they got Jared Stidham. He's not exactly Lamar Jackson. He's not exactly Russell Wilson. He's not exactly Patrick Mahomes. He's not exactly Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. He's not Matt Ryan, Jared Goff. I don't think he's Matt Stafford. You got him no weapons. So just say it. They're not good at the draft thing. Great businesses have holes. I thought New England's draft stunk. God, we really need some dynamic playmakers. You know, because Kansas City's got 11 of them. Let's not address it.
Okay.
Great. Super duper.
Colin ripping the Patriots draft yesterday. Enjoyed his commentary as usual. We've talked about
Belichick's lousy at the draft.
We've talked about them not drafting a Pro Bowler since Jamie Collins in 2013. He took it another step. They haven't drafted an offensive Pro Bowler since Rob Gronkowski in 2010.
That's amazing.
Holy crap. Right. I'm sorry, Murray.
That sounds about right.
But that is. Okay, never mind Pro Bowler. How many good offensive draft picks have they had? You know, would you say Isaiah Wynn or Sony Michel are good offensive draft picks?
No, not yet. No.
James White definitely was.
Okay, James White.
James White, I'll give you. James White was, what year was that? 2014. He was in the fourth round in 2014. I'll give you Joe Tooney again. Okay, the guard. He was drafted in the third round in 2016. So there's two.
Mason.
Shaq Mason in the fourth round in 2015. Okay, so the two guards and James White. Give me another good offensive draft pick since Gronk in 2010.
Well, so Andrews was undrafted, right?
Yep.
Andrews, so, I don't know if you count him or not. That's a guy sort of you found, right? But
Outside of the interior of your offensive line and James White, you haven't drafted any good offensive players in over a decade.
Correct. It's a good point.
That's jarring.
I mean, it is. It's a good point. And I'll tell you what, though, on some level, don't you think Belichick wants it that way?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Again, because it's if you're taking these lesser players and the players aren't getting the credit, who is?
Well, I guess Malcolm Mitchell you got to throw in there because they did win. Without him in the Super Bowl, you don't win that game.
So he's always a tweener to me. I mean, he had a huge medical red flag, and then he didn't get through because of the injury. So it's like sort
he
of
was so good in that game though. When
he was,
needed him.
and you know, and that's the exact kind of receiver I like. He came back for the ball, fought for the ball, sure hands. You know, wasn't a quote unquote playmaker. Didn't open his mouth. He just got open, caught the ball, and even when he wasn't open, he'd still fight for the ball and come back for it and catch. He was a perfect kind of receiver for me. I really liked Malcolm Mitchell as a player, but he came out of school. The reason he dropped was because he had an injury problem. He didn't make it more than a year. So I don't know. It's hard for me to really give him credit for that. But be that as it may, more thoughts on the Patriots and their roster and how they're looking before we get back to the return of sports next hour. Alex and Dedham. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. I get really frustrated watching the draft because the Patriots, they moved up to get that second tight end. They traded, two picks away to get him, and they didn't seem like they really had to move up to get him. They seem to be taking guys in the second, third round that they can get in the fourth or the fifth. Taking guys in the fourth or the fifth that seem to would be moving down more in the draft. So it's pretty frustrating to watch the way they pick. I don't have problems with the players they pick, but their undrafted class seems to be a little bit more interesting. They got two guys from Miami who had off-the-field issues who have a load of talent. Then they got that quarterback from Louisiana Tech. They say he's got a really strong arm. All you know, he's about 6'1".
So, Alex, I just have to stop you on the undrafted guys. I just, even in these trying times, you're going to have to do that on your own time somewhere else. The methodology, I have no idea who these tight ends are, but I sort of hit on this yesterday. I mean, for all the credit and all the tire pumping we do when they accumulate some extra fourth-round pick for some trade or some move down, no, they got an extra fourth, to give two of those fourths then to the Jets for some freaking tight end at 101, it's like, is that guy really worth it? I mean, again, you work so hard and get so much credit, and you don't get so horny for those extra mid-round picks that you accumulate. Then you just dish them off to your division rival for the tight end at 101, who had how many grabs last year? Was this the blocking tight end? Was that the guy they traded up for?
Yeah, that was the kid from West Virginia.
Or Virginia Tech or whatever
Virginia
it was.
Virginia Tech, yeah, Virginia Tech.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, boy, maybe I'm just sick of hearing all you pump his tires for getting extra fourth-round picks. You know, if that's what you got the extra fourth-round picks for the blocking tight end out of Virginia Tech at 101, it's like, I don't know.
It's a big yank, for crying out loud. That's what it is. The whole thing is one big yank. And so this is the part that makes no sense, is that, you know, the Patriots went into it. They went into the draft with 12 picks, including a first-rounder. They came out with 10 players and no first-rounder. So like, you know, for all this moving around and everything, and they did this and did that, they'll trade down. They got less players than they originally would have gotten if they had just stayed on their draft board, and their first pick was 14 picks later than it otherwise would have been.
It's such a now, good look, point, Maz. Now, and it's look, not like they did they trade in for any – do they have any futures coming back?
I don't think so. I think it was all in the context of this draft.
So they came into it with 13 picks and a first-rounder. They ended up with 10 players and no first-rounder.
Correct. Okay. So now again, now look, that's just talking about the moves on the board. Okay, that's just talking about the moves on the board. Maybe Belichick hit on five of these kids, in which case he had a good draft. We'll see. But the shell game that he plays, I'm telling you, half the time I think he does it just so people can't track his trades and know, you know, he got this for that, or he just muddies the whole thing up.
No, it's playing with himself. It's playing with himself. You ended up with fewer players at lower positions. I guess it's sort of how you came into the draft with 13 players and a first round pick. You ended up with 10 players and no first rounder. So all right, okay, got it. Dennis in Rhode Island, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I just noticed that I think the trend, especially of this draft, proves that I think the Cold War is still going on between Brady and Belichick. I just look at the type of players he took. And the programs they're from, everything about this was kind of like, okay, forget you, Tom. I'm going to show that I can still get guys over here to play, even if they are of lesser talent and such. And that, as a fan, is annoying.
So I wonder about that too, Dennis. Thanks for the call. You know, I was saying yesterday, was he doing it just to piss us off, media, fans, experts, you know, other teams? He was just the ultimate contrarian in this draft? Or is he just still proving points to Brady? Yeah, I'm gonna win with the next guy. I don't even need to draft the next quarterback. And your receivers last year, Tom, were just fine. I'm going to prove that by not even drafting one. We don't need one. We're all set at the position. Was that the game he was playing, Murray?
Not taking a wide receiver, considering how that position and the depth of that position in this year's draft was talked about, that could be looked at as screw you, Tom. I don't know how you look at it any other way.
Seriously.
But we're good with what we have. I can win with Myers and Olszewski and N'Keal Harry and guys you didn't want to give the time of day to last year. I can do that with Jared Stidham going forward. So I'm not going to take one. And screw you.
And, says Belichick, i.e. Tom Keegan there in the Herald, N'Keal Harry should be better with a quarterback behind center who will simplify the offense for him.
Yeah, that was a big tell.
Oh, so that's a good one, too.
It was. What a kick in the face that was.
Nick in Plimpton. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, guys. So, Pacers roster, they weren't that great, really, when free agency began. And out after the draft, the roster still isn't that great. I mean, the team's probably going to go 8-8 at best, but still probably make the playoffs because of the ineptitude that is the AFC. Mike, they're not winning the division. The Bills are probably going to win the division, but as I said, Pats will still get into the playoffs because of the ineptitude that is the AFC and really just the lack of coaching that is really around the NFL.
Okay. Coaching's a big one. You still have a big advantage on the bench. Huge advantage on the bench. You don't have much of a roster advantage. You certainly don't have an advantage at quarterback. You have a massive advantage at coach. We're about to see what that's good for, which is delicious. Looking forward to seeing it. Looking forward to, seeing next year contribute to the argument. We'll continue with your thoughts on all of this. I do want to reset sort of a reality check for the NBA's return, which I think was a telling story, and a new plan on the table for Major League Baseball that's kind of interesting. We'll do that all after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.